عليه وسلم as soon he enter after they can make the contract and want to be with her, she said, I seek refuge in Allah from you. And this not aware to be said to the, to anybody, neither even to the, especially for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, indeed you had seek refuge in the right one who can give you refuge, which is Allah. Okay? So catch, okay, or take a hike, whatever the word, go and go to your home. Okay? Go to your family. Alright? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he order, and here is the point here, by saying ordering Usama, the hadith will be munkar, okay? But the one who had ordered him, Aba Usaid, and this hadith will be authentic by using Abu Usaid instead of Usama, okay? And this also one of the means that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was kind and generous even after he separated or divorced her or sent her home because he have no need for her anymore. Okay, and this is a kunya, okay, indirect form of divorcing instead using the term divorce. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, go home, this is it. So sometimes a person can divorce his wife without using the term divorce or talaq by using a term which related that I have no need for you. Okay? If a man said to his wife, I have no need for you anymore, and he meant by this divorce, she became divorced. So does not have to be using always the term divorce. And out of the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave her 3 garments as presents, okay, to make the thing easier on her, to make her feel a little bit better for what had happened to her. We go to the hadith number 892 عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى على عبد الرحمن بن عوف أثر سفرة فقال ما هذا؟ قال يا رسول الله إني تزوجت امرأة على وزن نواة من ذهب. قال بارك الله لك أولم ولو بشاء. Here is this hadith, hadith number 892, page number 367, narrated Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw the track of or the trace of yellow color on Abdul Rahman, which is some kind of like you call za'faran or something like this, which is a perfume of a woman. The perfume of women in Islam is different from perfume for women in America. Okay? Perfume of women in America, the one who has more stronger smell or fragrancy and mild at the same time and more attractive. Okay? Which is haram for the woman to use it outside of her house. Okay? Islamically, anything has a smell, this is a man perfume, to use it outside. Perfume of a woman is like oil, like hair grease or something like this. Something has a color but has no smell. Okay? But is opposite here in America, that the best, the most expensive perfume, you found what? Women perfume, because it's more stronger that you can smell it 5 miles away. And we know the danger of this, and this is a form of adultery. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the woman who bought perfume and go out like this, she's equal to a woman who's committing adultery. And if a woman bought perfume in her clothes or incense or anything like this, and she go to the masjid, her salah is not acceptable. Her salah is not acceptable until she go home and take a full complete shower. This came in the hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. So Rasulullah s.a.w. he saw the trace or the track of this color of perfume. A perfume with a color, okay, is not with a smell. He saw it in Abdul Rahman. So he said to him, what's this? Like, how this came in you? You understand? This is something used by women. How this came in your cheeks or in your beard or in your neck, wherever it was. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, I got married. And I give this woman that I marry her equal to a weight of date, stone, gold. This is the dowry. Okay? The dowry was equal to a date stone out of gold to be the dowry. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, فَبَارَكَ lak, may Allah bless your marriage, make walima, make a feast, even at least a one sheep. Even if it's what? One sheep. So from this hadith, we see how is that the wali, or the governor, or the imam, should be a person who observing the members of the community, a person who care for them, a people who are in charge of community, governors and emirs and whatever they are, they have to keep good eye on the members of the community. Otherwise, how the Prophet ﷺ noticed this perfume in Abdurrahman? Because the Prophet ﷺ is in charge of this Muslim ummah, and he paying attention to see the physical condition of each one of them. If he poor, if he's in need, if he's sick, to question about him, how he feels, all these things. This is number one. Also, we see that the walima is something is mustahab, something that encouraged in Islam. Also, we understand that the sunnah, that the people make dua to the person who just get married. Okay, when you get the news, when you get to know it, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless their marriage. That the walima will be, can be a lot of food for the person who have the means to do it, okay? But a person who doesn't have, he will do it according his means. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, make a feast for this wedding, even if it's one lamb only, okay? Because this may be in your reach, in your means, okay? But if you have more, you should do more. And also from this hadith, again, we learn the necessity of dowry. The necessity of dowry. Also, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was shocked to see the za'faran, okay, on what? On Abdurrahman ibn Auf, may Allah be pleased with him. And we understand that he got it as example that he was hugging his wife or whatever it is. And this shows you whatever a man imitation for a woman could not go like this. Okay? And this is the reason that Rasulullah ﷺ, when he noticed it, like he said, hey, what's going on? Okay? And we see that nowadays that some of Muslims, they wearing things, imitation, intentionally, not something you understand that happened by accident. No, we see that people wearing things intentionally nowadays, imitating women. We understand the only jewelry that been worn by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ring. And the ring made out of silver. This is the only thing. Through the history, through Islam, through Jahiliyya, you found always necklace, earrings, bangles, ankle bracelets, all these things is only for women. Nowadays we see so-called men and even among the Muslims they start wearing these things. And this imitation for women. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that a man who imitate a woman be cursed by Allah. I'm not surprised, understanding Qabla is, maybe we see a man also wearing ankle bracelets and watch. You can take this tape and keep it. After 2 years, listen to it, you will see it, and it started by the kuffar, and after this you will find some of the Muslims wearing ankle bracelets. Because, don't be surprised, this is America. Like we hear nowadays that there is a web page on the internet, I didn't see it yet, but I heard, for gay Muslims. I'm serious. Allah is my witness, this is what I heard, okay? Gay Muslims, okay? And they making a club for themselves. So you see how how you bring in all the mess and all the trash of the kuffar. But you see, to us it's shock. Same thing, you understand, like what? Somebody see, you don't see some Muslims. Friday, you see some Muslim with the earring. Okay? But to us, 2-3 years was like, what you talking about? You see? But things, you understand, start little bit to be a shock, and after this, when it started to be done, became like it's okay. You see somebody with a necklace, somebody with earring, somebody, understand, have a bony tail and all kind of things, and somebody wearing a woman dress or somebody, and things became little bit by little bit, and to some Muslim became acceptable. You see, or became acceptable. But we see how the objection of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw only the oil, women oil wear by a man. He didn't wear it himself, but like I said, he just got married, okay, and this is something that maybe his wife bought for himself to beautify himself, herself for the husband, and as a result of this, that some of this perfume came on her husband, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it, and here the objection, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking, what it is? Now he explained to him that he got married. The next hadith number 893, عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دعي أحدكم إلى الوليمة فليأتها. متفق عليه. ولمسلم إذا دعا أحدكم أخاه فليجب. عرسا كان أو نحوه. Okay. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, when one of you is invited to a wedding feast, okay, this is equivalent to walima, because there is all these things that you call it feast or you call it dinner, but the Arabs used to have a certain names for different invitation or different type of dinner, okay? So like aqiqa and walima, and so the aqiqa for the birth of a child, the walima for somebody getting married. So they used to have a lot of, about maybe 21 or 14 names for all these festivals that to eat, and I could not recall all these things. But basically, the wedding feast, this is what we're talking about, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one of you is invited to this kind of walima, that let him answer this call. Again, the sunnah to make food, okay, after getting married, and the necessity and the obligation of answering the call of those who call you to their walima. A person shouldn't shouldn't don't go thank you. He shouldn't refuse the invitation, especially of Walima and Aqiqah. Also, we see that Islam is concerned about Muslims loving each other and caring for each other. Because when somebody invites you and you don't answer his call, it makes some ill feeling or bad feeling in his heart. Or like he thinks he understands that I'm not good enough for him to come in my house. Or he thinks he's too good not to attend, you understand, my wedding or things like this. So Islam is concerned about us that we be concerned about people feeling in general, okay? And that we answer the call, and also that we take these occasions, to try to solve or iron some of our differences. Because sometimes, as example, you understand, if there is differences between me and you, and now here my daughter getting married, or I'm getting married, I'm only giving example, okay? Or I'm getting married as example and I'm inviting you to my walima. Now, by coming and showing there, this is, it make me understand, forget about these differences between me and you, that you show up, that you respect the da'wah, or that you come to say congratulations to you or to your daughter. So these things, it bring you understand about a better feeling among the Muslim community, and we should always take advantage of these occasions. Hadith number 894 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شر الطعام طعام الوليمة يمنعها من يأتيها ويدعى إليها من يأباها ومن لم يجب الدعوة فقد عصى الله ورسوله. Listen to this beautiful hadith, which it reflects something of our, some of our people lifestyle. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that the worst kind of food is the food of the feast after wedding. Okay, not the food itself, but the invitation or the type of gathering. Why? Because he said the person who come to eat from his own be rejected. The person who been invited, he doesn't really care for it. The poor person, he'll be happy to know so and so get married because he had occasion, go have a hot meal, a cooked meal. He will go. But the person who is the owner or the person of this wedding, he doesn't want these poor people in his house. Okay? He don't want these people to be in his house. So he rejecting them. He go invite high class people, people like understand him or the same stats or whatever. But those people, they didn't really care for food. They go to restaurants almost every understand day, and they have all this different food eating every time. And so the people that you invite in, they don't care for it. And the people that they come in, you're rejecting them. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the reason, say this is the worst kind of food or feast. And said, and whosoever doesn't answer the call of walima, feast, wedding feast, indeed he disobey Allah and his messenger. So if a person been invited to a walima, especially walima, okay, you may have excuse or exception for other things, okay. And sometimes it gets really to be pain in the neck, like they say. Every day somebody, brother, let's have something in my house. Okay? And you know, those people that always, everything is tea. You could not even do your homework, you could not study, you could not be with your wife. So tonight, here was brother so-and-so having some tea. The next day, brother so-and-so, something in my house, you go to so-and-so. And keep going the whole week like this, even the weekend. And after this, your wife is complaining, so what's wrong? I have to be a brother for you to spend some time in the house? And do I have to go make you some Arab tea or some Indian tea to come to my house? You see? So sometimes a person really does not have a chance to be with his family. Everybody, tea, okay? Maybe sometimes that you say, oh, brother, please, really, I could not. I have final exam tomorrow, or I have to be with my family. Please forgive me. But for the walima specifically, you could not, okay? And to such a degree that the Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever refuses it, indeed he disobey Allah and his messenger. Okay? He disobey Allah and his messenger. So we see it is must to answer the walima. And also this hadith indirectly is encourage us to invite who? The poor and the needy people to the wedding feast. And also it shows us that it's too bad for you to only have special people coming to the wedding feast. Okay. Next hadith, which is not actually okay, next hadith 895, page number 368. وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دعي أحدكم فليجب فإن كان صائما فليصلي وإن كان مفطرا فليطعم. أخرج مسلم. وله من حديث جابر نحو قال فإن شاء طعم وإن شاء ترك. Right. It shows you that even if you fasting, you have to go. To eat or not to eat, this is a different story. But your presence there is important. You see, your presence there is important, even if you're fasting. You may let the person know that you're fasting, and sorry, but, okay, I could not eat, okay, maybe he give you a plate to go, alright, he take it with you. Or maybe it's going to be a matter of 10-15 minutes and sunset, say, I'm sorry I could not eat now, but inshallah, in half an hour I'm going to break my fast and I'm going to eat. So, going is different from eating. Okay? So, you have to go. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when one of you is invited to a meal, okay, again, we're talking here about this hadith coming after the same chapter, so we understand inshallah that this is related to the wedding. When one of you invited to a meal, he should accept. If he is fasting, he should pray, i.e. make supplication for the inviter, okay? And if he is not fasting, he should eat. Okay? Say, I'm sorry I could not eat, but I appreciate the invitation. Praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it successful marriage, that Allah bless the family and have more children and whatever it is, or may Allah bless you with the third wife, or may Allah bless you with the fourth, or may Allah bless you, understand, with the right hand with this, inshallah, after you take over the kuffar and whatever it is, make dua, okay? And give some dua and let him know that you're fasting. Also, in another narration, that you have the right that you break your fast. You can break your fast if you want. Okay? But you have no choice except to go and to show your presence there. The other narration, which by Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhi, similar to the above, but say, if he wishes, he may eat, but if he wishes, he may leave the food alone. Okay? So if the fasting person want to break his fast, he has the right to break the fast. If he don't, he can make supplication and dua to the people of the walima, and this will be sufficient. Hadith number 896. In actuality, the hadith is weak, and possibility it can be good by other supportive hadith. So it's between weak and hasan li ghayri, good as a result of supportive narration. Okay, but basically if we have to go through the hadith, that minimum of the walima is one day providing the meal. If you want to go to the second, is acceptable. Other than this, the person making it for fame and to show off, and this is not right. وعن صفية بنت شيبة قالت أولى من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على بعض نسائه بمدين من شعير, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had made walima for some of his wives with muddain mun sha'ir, okay, barley. That this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he has for the walima, okay, because some people they may understand the walima as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdul Rahman Nawf that awlim walaw bishah, kill a sheep. But if a person doesn't have a sheep, he can whatever it is. If this all what you can get, a box of cereal and gallon of milk, and invite some of your brothers and give them a bowl of cereal, alhamdulillah, this is what you can. You see, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. But the minimum that the person show his appreciation that Allah had give him a wife, and he will provide some sweets, some food, some barley, some rice, whatever he can to the Muslims, inshallah. And we hear that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had held a wedding feast for one of his wives with a mud of barley. Okay, and mud is putting your two hands together and fill it. Okay, so can you imagine filling your two hands with like this, what about 6 cups of rice? This is all what he had. He did it. And this was the walima for one of his wives. Hadith number 898. وعن أنس قال قام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين خيبر والمدينة ثلاثة ليالي يبني علي بصفية فدعوت المسلمين إلى وليمتي فما كان فيها من خبز ولا لحم وما كان فيها إلا أمرا إلا أن أمر بالأنطاع فبسطت فألقى عليها التمر والإقط والسمن. متفق عليه. That narrated from Anas that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he stayed 3 nights between Khaybar and Medina. When he took up Safiya, he made a wedding feast for her, and I call the Muslims, or I invite the Muslims for the feast, the wedding feast of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with no meat or food, with no meat or bread in it. Okay, the only thing that we spread some ma'ida, and we put dates, dried cheese, and butter, and this was the whole thing that we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Again, the sunnah of having wedding feast after you get married, and that you do it according your means. Hadith number 899 is weak. We're going to leave it alone. Hadith number 900 وعن أبي جحفة عن أبي جحيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا آكل متكئا. And this hadith, which is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari and narrated by Abi Juhfa, although the hadith talks about the proper manner of eating, but why came under the chapter of marriage? Anybody know? It's very simple answer, but I'm trying to see if somebody's still awake. Because we're just talking about walima. Walima comes under the marriage, and part of the walima, what you're going to do, you're going to eat. So the hadith is saying that that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, I don't eat sitting straight on the buttocks, okay? Although that some people in English meaning maybe leaning, that means people be sitting like this, okay? Like between sitting and sleeping, between sitting and laying, okay? So the position between called leaning, maybe in English, but what is understood in the Arabic terminology, like somebody who's sitting like me now, okay? So this not was the mannerism of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he eats, okay? And if I'm not mistaken, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his way when he sits to eat, possibility can be this: sitting in one leg and straighten. Whatever, I don't know how to describe this. I'm sorry for people who are listening to the tape, but maybe the technology later on, we put it in the video. You may sit down like you said in Tashahud, as example. And I heard another form, which I'm not sure from it, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sits this way, Qurfasa. And what you notice from all these positions of sitting, different from somebody sitting like this on his buttocks, okay, that this will put your pantry in front of you, and you can keep filling it, okay, your stomach, all right, and you can keep filling it, okay. But when you sit in any of this position, your stomach really is not open wide, and it doesn't allow you to keep button, because filling the stomach, you know, is not the proper way, is not healthy way. As we understand, the proper way is that the person doesn't eat more than the third. So one third for your food, one third for your drink, and one third for breathing. Okay, we have some people, they get a stomach ache not because they're hungry, they get stomach ache because they could not eat anymore, and they could not even breathe, okay? And so we understand now the hadith, this is not the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he eats, okay? And another hadith which came also under this chapter related to the mannerism of eating, but because we're talking about marriage, and part of marriage making walima, and part of walima eating. وعن عمر ابن أبي سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا غلام سم الله وقل بيمينك وقل مما يليك. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Amr ibn Abi Salama, and this is the stepson of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he married Umm Salama, okay? And this hadith, it shows you how the stepfather should give direction and instruction, and should be concerned also about his stepson. It's not because his wife's son that he neglect him or he kick him out of the house. Okay. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying to him, Ya ghulam, O boy, mention the name of Allah, say the name of Allah, سمي الله, say بسم الله, eat with your right hand and eat what's closer to you. Okay? And there is a mistake here that some people, when they eat, they did not say Bismillah, no, they say Bismillah Rahman Rahim. This is not the sunnah, the proper way to say Bismillah. Okay? Somebody says, so what's wrong to say Bismillah Rahman Rahim? This is not what the Prophet said. And we stop wherever the Prophet stopped. Okay? So the Prophet said Bismillah. This is the sunnah. And for the person to eat with the right hand. And we understand that in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ told us that shaitan eats with the left hand. So we are forbidden of imitating the opposite sex. We are forbidden of imitation of the kuffar. And we are forbidden of imitation of the shaitan. So Rasulullah told us that shaitan eats with his left hand. So here he said, eat with your right hand and eat from what's closer to you or what's next to you. This is the adab and the behavior and the discipline of a person how to eat. Hadith is authentic, is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Next hadith, which hadith number 902, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أتى بقصعة من ثريد فقال كلوا من جوانبها ولا تأكلوا من وسطها فإن البركة تنزل في وسطها. الحديث is authentic, reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was presented or brought to him a dish contained a thareed, okay, like a big dish, enough for maybe 7-12 people. It's not small plates like what we have today. It's something that group of people can sit and eat. So the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to them was what? Eat from its side. Don't eat from the middle. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because the barakah, the blessings, descends in the middle. Okay? So when somebody stretches his hand and eat from the middle, he's taking the whole blessings. And we're supposed to share the blessings. Okay? So everybody eat from what's closer to him until you, everybody will reach to what is in the middle. And also we learn from this, you understand that the barakah, alaykum as-salam, that people eating together. And sometimes the Sahaba complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they eat and they are not satisfied. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving them instruction to eat together. To eat together, okay, and this will be good advice for those people who have low money, or the towards the end of the month is not too much enough money to manage it. One of the ways to manage it is eat together, put the food together in a tray, and let the husband and the wife and the children, which is some people they call it here sunnah. Let's eat sunnah, okay? So, and let them eat sunnah. That means one plate, big dish, tray, and sit and eat together. And this, inshallah, will be barakah, will be a blessing. You will feel content and satisfied faster and good, even if the food is not that much, but the blessings will be in it, inshallah. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تأكلوا بالشمال فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال. Okay, the hadith came again here. I didn't pay attention, which I just mentioned about it, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbid us to eat with the left hand by saying what the meaning is, don't eat with the left hand, for the devil eats with the left hand. Okay? And we understand that we again have been forbidden to imitate the shaitan. And one of the ways of the shaitan that he eats with his left hand. Last hadith in this chapter, and maybe for tonight's class, hadith number 904, page number 370. وعن أبي قتادة رضي الله تعالى عن أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا شرب أحدكم فلا يتنفس في الإناء. متفق عليه. ولأبي داود عن ابن عباس ونحو زاد أو ينفخ فيه. That hadith reported by Abu Qatada, may Allah be pleased, Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, the hadith is authentic. With additional narration from Imam Abu Dawood, and it is also authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you drinks, he must not breathe into the vessel. The addition or the other version or blow into it. Okay, when a person takes a cup like this to drink, he doesn't keep the cup on his mouth and keep drinking and breathing while he drinking inside it. Okay, this is not the adab, this is not the mannerism of Islam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah is the person to breathe out of the vessel. Okay, and the sunnah that the person even take it in sips in three times, okay? Like you take Bismillah and you drink like this and you put it down, okay? And after this you drink again and you put it down and you take it thin. You don't take, you understand, almost about 8 inches glass full with orange juice, and after this he doesn't put it down in the ma'idah until he finished, kill it, okay? This is not right. We have to learn the adab and the sunnah and the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ is good in everything, and we have to do the best to teach our children and for the parents to be example for their children how they supposed to act, inshallah. I think we have maybe about 7 minutes before the adhan and maybe 7 minutes before the tape also finish. If anybody have correction or comments or question, inshallah, maybe we'll try. Or if something that I said was not clear, I maybe try to inshallah clarify more. And inshallah, our next class will be chapter 5 concerning division between wives for those who have more than one wife, or the planning to have, or you don't even have to have the intention, or you don't have, still good to learn about it, because this is part of Islam, inshallah. Anybody have question, correction? Abdul Muiz?
Okay, the question is, when a prophet divorced the other wife, is that when he, because the other ladies or his co-wives played a trick on her?
Not because what they did, because what she said to the Prophet.
But he told her to say it.
Yeah, but she should be smart enough, she's old enough, okay. First, as I said, I'm not sure from this story, okay. But seek refuge in Allah from the Prophet, this is something very serious, okay. And you're asking Allah to protect you from this man. So he said, okay, you are being protected. Okay, what you ask for, you got it. So, and we understand that these tricks and these things happen between co-wives in the old times before Islam, during Islam, even with the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the human being, okay? But still, you understand, don't tell me somebody said, yeah, yeah, go ahead and shoot it, man, shoot it. All what you need to pull the trigger like this and you see the bullet go. So I say, oh, but he's the one who told me. Doesn't matter, you see, you're old enough, you're over 18 years old, you know what you're doing, and don't tell me who told you pull the trigger.
Okay, let's say if some people get married from out of town, but they come here to get married.
Mm-hmm.
It's during Ramadan, and I'm fasting, and they invite me, I have the right to break my fast to go to the
dinner. Oh, okay. Now we're talking about optional fasting. I'm glad that you clarified this point. The walima, to go to the walima, okay, the wedding feast, you go. But if you fasting, obligatory fasting, no, you could not, because the commands of Allah comes first, okay? But like somebody Monday, Thursday, he fasting sunnah, okay? And he been inviting for walima. Now he has the option to break or not. Maimuna. No, you are not supposed to blow in the food, regardless for to make it cooler or to make it what you said? To cool it out?
Yeah.
No, you are not supposed to do this. He said, وَلَا يَنْفُخُ فِيهِ. In another narration, or blow into it. Okay? Like somebody takes the food in the spoon for the baby, like this to make it, you could not do this. Okay, you leave it until it gets cooler, and after this you can eat. Abdul Ahad.
Well, I got a comment.
Okay.
Wrong, but I learned in language when you say tanawulu, like tanawulu, it's tanawulu ta'an, easy time. It comes from the word tafa'al, which means doing something together like tawasul and hafi. Doing something together. So we say tanawalu, this also implying that we eat together.
It doesn't have to be eating together, okay? Taking it, you can take it by yourself, you can be taking it with somebody, okay? You can take it by you, it does not have to be, okay? Allah knows best. Tafadhal. Yes, Jabir.
Yes, you said that the setting of her free became her dowry. Are you marrying her, that means?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he set her free, okay, and he married her. So in return, instead of giving money, he set her free. So this became instead of her dowry. Because the meantime, he can make a settlement with her, $1,000, and she will go and work for the $1,000. Now she's free, okay? By paying the $1,000, now he will marry her. So instead of this, he set her free and marry her.
Yeah, you didn't explain that it was the problem.
Okay.
Why?
All right.
Okay, does the woman have a right to refuse to accept the dowry if she thinks that it is worth?
Do you mind to slow down so I can...
Oh, sorry. Does the woman have a right to refuse to accept the dowry if she thinks that it is worth too much? So, for instance, they gave her a car and she thinks that the car is too much for her.
We praise that we have more sisters like this, inshallah. If a woman feels that the dowry is too much for her, but is okay with him, let her take it and inshallah spend it fi sabilillah. But refuse it, she's going to say, okay, I don't want a half million, I'm only going to take a quarter million, so it's fine. I don't see how she refuses. She can give it to her father or her brother, give it to her family.
She have the right to refuse it, that's what I'm asking. Not does she have the choice, does she have the right to refuse it? We know she has a choice.
Yes, she has the right.
Okay.
Yes, she has the right to refuse it.
Okay.
Same way she can refuse the kind, the amount, all these things. Somebody want to give a car, but she don't want a car. She has the right to refuse whatever, and he have to meet the obligation, or he have to find a different wife.
What about if her guardian says that she should take it, and she still doesn't want it?
They have to iron this problem between them now. Okay, both the husband one, the future husband in a room, and the guardian and the sister sit someplace and talk about it. Okay. Habib.
Is there a few questions? I want to get them all in, please.
Okay, let's...
I'm going to start.
All right. Roya.
I have a couple of questions. I just basically need a yes or no answer.
Okay.
If you know someone's going to have music or medicine of, you know, guys and women in their wedding, do you have to go?
This is very important question. Although that you see, The problem here when I